Hi, this is Kate Cohen, recording my column for the Washington Post about banning cell phones in the schools. We feel like we're in the 1980s again. That's what lunch monitors told Bethlehem Central High School principal Dave Domel this fall, after the school in the suburbs of Albany, New York, implemented a total mobile phone ban. Bethlehem students now have to keep all electronics in a locked pouch for the entire school day, a change of policy that was completely transformational from the first week, Domel told me when I visited the school last month. He gestured to the cafeteria in front of us as though to a miracle. Clusters of chatting students made a hum, punctuated by the clatter of trays and the squeak of chairs. It seemed totally normal to me. But that could be because the last time I was in a high school cafeteria at lunchtime was in the 1980s. I'm usually wary of complaints that frame the past as the standard and the present as some dangerous deviation from it. When alarms sound about marriage rates falling or teenagers coming out as non-binary or Gen Z leaving religion in droves, I wonder instead how many people used to marry for lack of other options, or conform to rigid gender norms despite their discomfort, or stay in church even though they didn't feel like they belonged. The past, familiar as it is, was not necessarily better. So it is with some reluctance that I say kids these days are on their cell phones too much. A recent Gallup poll shows teens spend an average of nearly 5 hours a day just on social media, not including games and texts. A report by Common Sense Media finds teens check their phones an average of more than 100 times a day. All that screen time is bad for adolescent mental health. Cell phone use jeopardizes social interaction and weaponizes bullying. Cell phones are also distracting. Even when they're not being used, they're sitting at the ready in pockets and backpacks saying, "Hey, hey, hey, look at me." That makes it tough to concentrate on anything, let alone apply geometry. Indeed, research finds a correlation between cell phone use and lower grades and test scores. Schools, and now some states, increasingly try to contain the damage by restricting phones in class. That's what Bethlehem tried first. But classroom distraction isn't the only problem. According to Domel, because of phones outside class, every in-school dispute was recorded and posted. Every insult or provocation was shared, gathering strength as it pinged around the apps. So he pushed for a total ban, and the school board voted unanimously in favor. Parents were concerned that they wouldn't be able to reach their children during the school day or that their children would be cut off in an emergency. But they can still call the office or even email. All the students have Chromebooks, and all the classrooms have phones that can dial 911. There was also resistance from some teachers who protested that students should be treated like adults. It's a pretty common argument. We're leaving students unprepared for life if we fail to teach them self-control and good judgment. But how can we possibly prepare students to battle technology that is designed to be addictive? Adults can't resist them either. Domel compares it with giving a kid a cigarette and saying, "Here, be responsible." Even if students want to be responsible, they can't. The next day, I visited Gilderland, another high school in suburban Albany, the one where my sons went. Gilderland doesn't ban phones, but Principal Mike Piscatelli told me the school bought storage pockets to hang on classroom doors. The teachers set the rules, and the administration makes a point of backing them up. Everybody's a little afraid of being the bad guy. He meant teachers, but school districts are wary, too, even though they know cell phones cause problems. Piscatelli has observed the damage to kids and the school caused by constant access to social media. "If there's a conflict, it never ends," he said. "It just keeps going." I didn't see any conflict when Piscatelli and I visited study hall, although who knows what lurked inside the little magic boxes that every student had out next to, or instead of, their work. I asked the librarian overseeing them whether she's noticed a change in her 20 years at Gilderland. "Oh, yes," she said. "Students don't know how to have a conversation anymore." On the way back, we passed a grassy courtyard where three girls sat together in the sunshine, looking at their phones. "Students have a hard time not being pulled to them," Piscatelli had told me. I couldn't help picturing a trio of sunflowers, all facing the ground. Gilderland is closely watching Bethlehem's ban, as are many local schools. More than 20 have gone to visit, just as Bethlehem representatives visited the school district in Schoharie, New York, last year, to witness the lively lunchroom, hear the old-fashioned between-period din, and marvel at students walking the halls with their heads up. But are they ready to be the bad guy? The question isn't whether kids these days are addicted to their phones or whether that addiction affects their mental health, their social skills, and their community. Of course they are, and of course they do. The question is whether we are willing to use schools to try to break that addiction, or at least to give kids a 7-hour break from it 180 days a year. I asked Omel whether anything about implementing the ban had surprised him. He said he hadn't realized what a burden the phones had been to the students, some of whom told him they were relieved not to have to respond to posts and texts during the school day. Maybe they're not learning to regulate their phone use, but they are learning that sometimes the best way to solve a problem is to have someone else take it out of your hands.